Hi, I'm Sarah, I'm an addict.
Hi, Sarah.
Wow, I'm really quite nervous, and I didn't want those readings to finish. This is really weird, hearing my voice on the microphone. I'm really nervous. It's a real honour, actually, to be asked to come here this evening. You know, I feel I've been on a long journey that has, you know, I'm at this point right now where I've been asked to come here, and that, you know, a journey in recovery. And it's had its ups and it's had its downs, but it's been a really freeing and wonderful experience, actually. You know, the thing that I at first appreciated and thought was so wonderful about coming to NA was finding other people who did the same kind of crazy things that I did, and the things that I used to really beat myself up about, because, you know, sorry, my heart's really pounding. I'm quite nervous. You know, basically, obviously, I use drugs, and I used a lot of them. And at first it was fun, and then it became a necessity for me. It became a way for me to deal with everyday life. You know, I couldn't do my washing without having a line. I couldn't do things without whatever. You know, every day, getting up, going out, going to the shop, making phone calls, you know, and it became like my helper, if you like, and it helped me do these mundane, everyday tasks that people need to do. But then it became that actually the drugs were more important than doing these things, and that, you know, I started showing up late for work or not showing up at all, or if I did show up, I reeked of alcohol, and I worked in a nursery, so that wasn't a good, you know. It wasn't good. And I didn't want to be using the way that I was using. You know, I never thought I wanted to stop completely. But I reached a point that I realised this is strange, you know. Or I'm not going to use tomorrow. And I'd use tomorrow. And, I'd do things like delete dealers' numbers from my telephone because I didn't want to ring them anymore. And then I'd go through the phone bill to work out which was their phone number, you know. And I once even told my dealer, one of the last times I saw him, I said, "Can you not sell drugs to me anymore, please?" And then when I called him the next day, I was like, "I thought I told you to not sell my drugs." But, you know, I got to a really, really bad place, and the fact that I couldn't stop taking drugs, and I'd be taking them at really inappropriate places, you know. Very ashamed to say that on a few occasions I did take drugs at work, and you know, that's a shameful thing to have to admit, because I was I was caring for young children. I got to a really bad place, and I know the difference between right and wrong. And I did a lot of really bad things because my need and my desire for drugs were greater than knowing what was right and wrong. And they were also, it was also quite convenient doing all these bad things, because they kind of they fueled my self-hatred. You know, I'm a thief, I'm a liar, I'm going to use loads of drugs because I'm a bad person. You know, and I don't deserve for people to like me or to love me, and I'm a horrible daughter, and I'm a horrible sister, and I have a younger brother who I love very much, and he looked up to me. You know, I was like his cool big sister, and you know, I like to think I was. But I remember one day him just looking at me in complete disgust, because you know, I've become quite a disgusting person, really. I didn't, you know, my personal hygiene wasn't great. I didn't have time for those things. I was too busy, you know, sitting on my own in my bedroom, taking drugs, you know. So it caused a lot of problems with my relationships with my friends and my family. You know, from doing my my step 8 list with my sponsor, it was about 2 or 3 days after I wrote that list that, you know, because I think the steps are really a beautiful process that I had the privilege of someone taking me through, and it was about 3 days after writing my step 8 list that, you know, I really, really cried, and I realised that I was crying. It's like a process of, when I was using, I'm a bad person and I do these bad things and I'm horrible to my mum. And then it was like, from this, and then I got to this place where it was like, poor me, because I've done these things. And I was crying because I realised that my mum is a lovely person. And just for anyone to have to see their daughter go through that, and it wasn't about me anymore, it was just about that this woman had suffered. So had my dad, and so had my brother, you know, and I'm now able to make amends now. And the most important thing that I do there is I continue to go to meetings and find my sponsor and work the steps, because my experience so far has shown me that, you know, I'm not going to use. Which is amazing, actually. I really, when I really think about it, it's amazing. I couldn't get a day clean. You know, I couldn't sit with myself. I'd wake up in the morning, I'm not going to use today. I'm not going to use today. Today I'm not going to use. It's like, how long can you sit? You know, 24 hours is a long time, and that's all. So it's like, okay, get the phone bill out, look for the numbers I've deleted, call the dealer, you know, I'll not use tomorrow. And, you know, my next door neighbour is actually, I think he's about 11 years clean, and he's in this programme, and he used to see me in a bad way. And he told me about NA, and he gave me the basic text, and so I never actually read it, but I was aware that there was this thing that was keeping my neighbour clean, and I had an idea that actually he'd had this quite, you know, previously, you know, being a drug user, what else should I say? And so I was aware that NA existed, and my parents were desperate for me to stop being the way I was, and they kept saying, why don't you try one of these meetings? Why don't you try one of these meetings? Like, yeah, maybe. And it's like I said, I wanted to not use anymore, so I'm not quite sure what the resistance was to going to a meeting. Anyway, I found myself outside a meeting one evening, and I was too scared to go in. So the next day, my dad took me to a meeting, and to avoid the embarrassment of having an argument with my dad outside this meeting, where there was loads of men standing outside smoking cigarettes, because I was like, just dad, just keep walking, I'm not going in, I've changed my mind. And he was like, oh no. It was like, either have an argument with my dad or go into the meeting. And I went into the meeting, I stayed for an hour, that was long enough. And, you know, what I heard there was this guy who was talking about how he moved from one place to another because he thought if he did that, he'd get clean. And immediately I was like, well, that, it's like, I've tried all these things. I think if I do this or I do that, I'll stop using. And, you know, I really related. And when I left there, I felt really good. And I hadn't felt that good for a long time. And I think that I now realise what it was I felt was actually hope. And I get a lot of hope from working the steps and from going to meetings and just hearing other people's experiences. Yeah, I feel truly blessed, actually, that that my dad took me to that meeting that day and that I stayed for as long as I did. And it was... Basically, like a week and a half later, I found myself still using, and I went back to a meeting, and this guy, also this crazy man, told me about how to do 90 meetings in 90 days, and I was like, yeah, okay then, good luck to you. You know, and I went away, and then I was still using a week and a half later, and I was like, shit, maybe he's got a point, maybe I should try this, you know, maybe, I don't know, I'll give it a go. What's there to lose, you know, and I think that's really important. I had absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain, and so I did that, and I got 3 days clean, and I was just really very happy about that, and it was very freeing. And the last time I used was I did my last bar shift on the Thursday night, and I thought I owed it to them to at least just do the one last one. And so I managed to not have a drink for 3 hours, and I was like, wow, look at me, I'm amazing. And I had a beer, and I drank it really slowly, and it was just like, see, I'm not an alcoholic, I'm not an addict. You know, the next thing I knew, I was trying to lock up, because I used to be in this bar on my own after everyone had gone and had the keys and everything, and I was already quite drunk, and I put my hands in the till, took my money for my drugs, and I phoned my drug dealer. And I woke up the next day, and an amazing thing happened. A woman who I'd asked to be my sponsor at my third meeting called me, and I told her what had happened, and I think I probably would have lied if she hadn't called me at that point. And I met up with her, and she took me to a meeting, and I got a white key ring, and she was like, let's not make a habit of getting these white key rings. And I've really tried to follow her guidance, and I generally do, and I feel truly blessed as well to have her, someone who's kind of walked this path before me. And I think the most amazing thing that NA has given me is that today I can be me, Slowly but surely I'm becoming the person that I was supposed to be, and I was never supposed to be a person locked in her bedroom doing drugs on her own. That was a very sad and very lonely place, and I never ever want to go back there, and I'm enjoying recovery, and I'm grateful for NA, and I'm grateful for the people in it, and just for today I'm clean. And I feel quite happy. And I think I'll end it there. That's okay.